Hi, it's Gary Stocker. Welcome to another podcast from Medical Laboratory Science 2030. We're doing a series of our interviews, and today we're doing one for the first time. We're doing an interview, a career interview with a cytologist. And I want to welcome Marissa Lee, who is a trained and experienced cytologist with a major medical center here in the United States. Marissa, welcome to the podcast. So cytology, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but just kind of give the audience a feel for how you got to where you were. Talk a little bit about high school, your college decisions, then we'll talk about cytology.
So in high school, I was really interested in science and art. So I was trying to find a career that could somehow meld those two together. And I quite literally stumbled upon cytology. So it's a super visual field with lots of pretty colors, which goes with art, and it's a very science-based field for the science geeks out there.
And what about colleges? What's the college process like for someone thinking about a career as a cytologist?
For colleges, there's a lot of different options. There's certificate programs, there's bachelor programs, there's a big push to get to master's programs because most of the programs are going to master's, but it's a very science-based degree. Anybody in any kind of science-based degree field understands, there's a lot of science. There's lots of chemistry, biology,
tell us about your college experience.
My college experience was phenomenal. I went to college in the Northeast at a college called Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, with the medical director, Jenna LeBlanc. She's amazing. And that experience just really ignited a love of what I do and where I am in this profession. And it was a lot of fun, and it was very, I would say it was very informative and very structured and very, I don't want to say easy because it was difficult, but there was a lot of support. From that college. I had gone to other colleges here and there to get to get different credits out of the way. Like I went to community college to get my chemistry credits out of the way. I went to a different community college to get my English credits out of the way. And they took all of that in stride. And I just kind of bounced around until I found Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, and it stuck.
Well, before we go any farther, there are a lot of listeners to the podcast that we do on medical laboratories that really won't know what cytology is or what a cytologist does. Can you take a couple minutes to talk about both?
So what cytology is the study of cells. And the difference between cytology and a very common sister field, histology, is cytology views the cells outside of the normal architecture, whereas histology sees them kind of within their structures of their tissues, whereas we don't see that. They're just kind of free-floating in space. So you're looking at all these different cells floating on a slide and trying to figure out whether or not they're cancerous or if they're infected, they have some kind of infection, or if they're reactive or if they're normal. And then cytology as a field is playing Where's Waldo with cancer. It's finding the little ugly oddballs within a field of normalcy. And trying to find where is it, how bad is it, and what can we do about it? Like how can we identify it? Is this a lung carcinoma? Is this a skin cancer? Is this a pancreatic cancer? Is trying to figure out where it came from and where it's at and how that affects the patient.
And I know that this podcast is listened to by a lot of folks in college, in their upper class years or junior, senior years. And Marissa, what about a college student today listening to this, who's a junior, senior, maybe even a sophomore in college, and they're getting that BS in biology or chemistry or microbiology or something? Is a cytology career possibly a good fit for them once they get that bachelor's degree completed?
Oh, yes, definitely. It has a lot of job stability, has a lot of job opportunities. It's a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job with major holidays and weekends off. And it's just a phenomenal career. And you can move pretty much anywhere from in the hospital from it. I could, like, for instance, I could move up and go corporate within the laboratory. I could pivot and maybe go over and be a pathology assistant or a histotechnician or a histotech.
So you're saying there's a lot of career flexibility in cytology?
There's so much career flexibility. There's also good pay with great benefits, and there's lots of options. So like what I do, I'm running around all day. And I really enjoy that. But for people who might not want to run around all day, there's options where you can just sit in a lab and screen all day. There's so much flexibility. It's absolutely crazy.
And you use the word screen. Can you describe to the listeners what you mean when you say you want to screen all day?
To screen is to look at these slides and try to find the cancers or the infections in them and figure out whether or not they are negative, meaning they are benign, there's nothing there, or if they are atypical, meaning, hey, there's something a little wonkity, or if they're suspicious, which is, this might be malignant, and something that is positive, which is malignant, and it's trying to figure out what that particular case is. That would be screening, is trying to find out where this case falls. Is it negative? Is it positive? Does it have an infection?
A pathologist is the medical leader of a laboratory, and that's kind of a generic term. How does a cytologist interact with a pathologist in a hospital laboratory?
In my hospital laboratory, we interact in a way in which we will do the primary screening on most of the cases, if not all of them. And then on certain cases, such as pap smears, if it's negative, they won't see it. But if there's any kind of reactivity, any kind of infection, any kind of cancer, or any other specimen that is not a negative pap smear, they will see it. And so we work very closely together. And if I go out on a fine needle aspiration, I'm on the phone with them and they're screening with me to give a rapid on-site evaluation, which is something called a ROSE. So we can give a patient a preliminary diagnosis within 15 minutes if need be. So if you're coming from far away and you don't want to have to make the drive back in 2 weeks, we can give you that diagnosis right then and there. So we work very closely together, and they give us a lot of feedback about how we're doing and what we can improve on. And, hey, I noticed you overcalled this. Can you explain it to me? Because there's been instances where I've convinced pathologists, hey, this isn't right. This is weird. We need to look into this. And there's been instances where they've said, no, Marissa, you're wrong. Here's what we see. So you work very closely with the pathologists.
So I'm going to go back. We've talked now about cytology to give our listeners kind of a better handle on what that is. I'm going to go back to the education piece, because again, most of the listeners for this podcast and the other MLS2030.com podcasts and videos that I put out there are helping folks decide if a medical laboratory, or in this case, cytology career is for them. And let's go back to the high school days, and I don't need to know what high school it was, but can you think back, Marissa, to your high school days? And whatever science courses you took back in high school, have they been valuable as you developed your education and career in cytology?
So from high school, I hated chemistry. I still hate chemistry. And I would say that is probably the least useful science course that I took. I will say with all basic science courses, there is some value, such as molarity, dilution, you know, those kinds of things. But electron fields, no, forget about it. That was probably the weirdest and most useless information I could have learned science-wise for this field.
You mentioned the courses that you took. Let's go to college now. And the science and even the math courses you took in college, have they helped you prepare and be a better cytologist?
Yes. The courses that I took in college definitely were more foundational and were much more helpful in understanding how certain chemicals work and how they are structured and how certain cells work and certain aspects of the cell work. They were just much more in depth and much more educational than, sadly, my high school experience.
So in a word, you're saying fight your way through the high school classes. The real good stuff is in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know there's
value in high school education. It sets a very good foundational basis, and lets you kind of get a taste of what kind of science you like. I knew after my first year in chemistry, I was like, I don't want to go into anything chemistry based.
Excuse me. Of course, I'm a medical laboratory scientist by training, a really old medical laboratory scientist. And we had internships. And again, I'm still focused on the education piece. Is there a cytology internship? And if so, what was that experience like for you?
There was a cytology internship, and it ran from, I want to say, July, very beginning of July, like July 1st, until right before Thanksgiving. So it's about 5 months, if I'm doing my math correctly, and probably not. And it was so helpful. You get so much hands-on training. You develop so many skills and so much experience. And there's such a big difference from going from learning about cytology and practicing it in a educational setting to practicing it in a real life setting and working with cytologists that have already passed their boards. And there's a huge informational gap. There's a big difference between learning about something and actually doing it, because it doesn't work. It doesn't always work the way you think it should or you think it might. So as an example, when I was in college, we were taught that like the pathologists would come with you to do FNAs, or these fine needle aspirations with the roses, where you give that preliminary diagnosis. And when I got to where I'm at now, they use telepathology, meaning there's a camera, there's a computer, there's a phone call that occurs, and the pathologists don't leave their office. So, and I had learned about that in college. I had no idea how it worked or the methods of which it worked and what happened. So it's just it's like seeing it online and then seeing it in person. It's two completely different things. They're both amazing, but it's just two different things.
Interesting. And I want to go back to your first day. And I worked nights right out of college many years ago. And I can still vaguely recall the fear, maybe, challenges, maybe, of working in that first medical laboratory those first few weeks and months. What was it like for you? You finished the education, you've got the certification, you're sitting down and working at in a real cytology department in a real hospital laboratory, and yours is at the forefront of cancer diagnosis and cancer cures. What was it like in those first few weeks and months?
Terrifying and exciting, because I got to work with some of the best cytotechs in the field. And I got to work with some awesome cytopathologists, and I got to see patients for the first time. So it was terrifying knowing my diagnosis is going to be affecting them possibly for the rest of their lives. But it was also exciting knowing I finally get to step into this field that I've been studying for the last 2-3 years and get to make these changes and be a part of the team that helps people hopefully get better. So it was simultaneously terrifying and exciting. So kind of like a roller coaster.
And then, again, using the analogies for medical laboratory and the amount of automation in the medical laboratory these days is stunning. And when I do tours of medical laboratories for potential students, it's amazing for them in lots of ways. And is there much automation in cytology?
There is some automation. So most of the automation comes from big companies like Hologic, who have the imaging microscopes or imaging fields. And those essentially only apply to pap smears. Anything outside of pap smears, there is imaging technology that may be not very good. And I only say not very good because we don't use it here. So I cannot speak on it, I think is a better way of saying that.
Okay.
But imaging, like the imaging fields are, you see those much more in private laboratories. Like we do everything by hand here and we have a massive volume, for a hospital. So
there's
some automation, but not as much as one might think.
Okay. Interesting. Cause I'm not familiar with the cytology automation at all. So Marissa, I want you to think back to your life before you even knew what cytology was. And I want you to think of someone in your position today, a high schooler, junior, senior, college, maybe junior, senior. Think back and from the perspective when you were much younger or younger period to where you are now, give these folks some guidance. They're thinking about a healthcare career. Maybe it's in the laboratory, maybe not, but give them some guidance that would help them understand whether cytology is something they should look at or not.
So, wow, that's a phenomenal question. Play to your strengths. Find out what you're good at and find a field that will encapsulate what you're good at. For me, I am a very visual but very analytical person. So being in a field that is qualitative rather than quantitative was important to me. And finding a field that encompassed both science and a visual aspect was important to me. And anybody that has any is very visual or really enjoys microscope work would enjoy cytology. But there are other options for other people who might have different strengths. And I will guarantee you there's a field out there with your strengths in it. The medical field is much bigger than you are led to believe.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. And I want to wrap up with a best and worst question. And thinking back on your experiences, both education and your professional career now, what do you think is the best part of working in a cytology laboratory in 2024?
The best part about working in a cytology laboratory in 2024 is definitely being able to come out of a procedure in which there's a patient who has a big concern for some kind of recurrence, and you get to come out and tell their team, like their medical team, that's cheering for them, that their biopsies came back negative. And watching the entire team just light up and celebrate for that patient. That is the best part of this job.
And of course, I'm going to follow up with the worst part. I might be able to guess what that is. But share with us, what's the worst part of working in a cytology?
What do you think the worst part is?
The worst part is the opposite of what you just shared about the best part.
Well, you're not wrong. But I would say the worst part is the kids, is when I have to tell a team for a child that this is probably malignant, or any young person.
Yeah. Well, interesting. And then one last question, and you did a nice job of play to your strengths a minute ago, but say I'm a college senior and I'm about to finish my Bachelor of Science in a science discipline. What's the one piece of advice, in addition to play to your strengths, you would give me about thinking about cytology as a career?
Find a good program. that has a well-respected teacher. Because
Beautiful.
you can get into programs that have bad teachers, and you can get into programs that have amazing teachers, and that will make or break your entire experience at learning.
Interesting. Well, that concludes this podcast. We've been speaking with Marissa Lee, who's a cytologist at a major medical center here in the Midwest. We've been talking about cytology, and it is one of the many hidden careers in the medical laboratory. And we'll continue to have interviews with maybe Marissa, some more cytologists across the country, certainly with some more medical laboratory scientists in the coming weeks and months. Marissa, we thank you for your time. We wish you the best in
thank
your
you.
Career. And this is Gary Stocker with MedicalLaboratoryScience2030.com. We'll talk next time.